Good morning. It's good to be here with everyone today. I'm excited to be able to share and preach with you guys. To start us, though, I have a confession I feel like I just need to make. I am not one that wants or likes to celebrate things out of order, out of turn, right? As we go through the fall, there's just this normal, logical order for how our holidays, really everything, should come together, right? We start with the start of school, we go to Labor Day, then, of course, if you're in the state of Texas, we got corn dogs, fried food with the state fair, and then Halloween, All Saints, a time of thankfulness, Thanksgiving we just went through, and then we get to Christmas and Advent. Of course, we are here in the midst, enjoying, celebrating, surviving, just obviously depending on how life is treating us. So you can imagine my own reaction before Christmas when I harmlessly walk into maybe a store, say Target, Michael's, even Home Depot, and I get, you know, hit in the face with all the Christmas stuff. And admittedly, so what goes through my brain is, you know, not this sweet moment where, oh, we are about to celebrate the birth of the sweet baby Jesus. No, instead, I think it's not time yet. We're not ready. I'm not ready for this. And so even this last week, I must confess, we rolled through and out of Thanksgiving. My wife, Courtney, and I, Courtney's actually here. If you haven't had a chance to meet her, you should. Got through, you know, we came to a small moment where we had small differences of perspectives. We both have parents here local in the Metroplex, and we decided to safely see both during the week of Thanksgiving, one on Thursday, the other on Friday. And so my head, for me, Thanksgiving was prolonged. We got 2 days instead of one. We made plans for decorating Christmas on Saturday, but for my wife, she saw this different. For her, Thanksgiving ended Thursday, it had come and gone, and this Friday was just this extra gathering. And so, of course, we get the Friday morning, and just those Christmas decorations that were right at hand are easy to come out. You know, those Christmas mugs you kind of store in the corner of the cupboard. There's this other thing. We have a spot on our stove, and I actually brought this with me. We have this pretty kitschy pig cutting board, and I get, you know, this doesn't scream Christmas. It actually was a gift from an older church lady at the last church I served. I like it, not just for its functionality, but also it reminds me of this sweet lady in her faith and how she loved the church and the people in it. But in the place of this pig, you guys will be surprised to know that there's this, you know, wonderful little Christmas decor. It's not about what's under the tree, but who's gathered around it, which is great, lovely, sweet. Of course, we reflected on wondering, okay, how many people are really going to be gathered around the tree this year? But for me in that moment, I wasn't ready. It caught me by surprise. I didn't feel like it was time yet. And thankfully in our house, right, my wife's choice of what coffee mug she wants to drink from on any given day. It is well good for her to choose to do a Christmas mug. And, right, we got to Saturday the next day. We got all the Christmas decorations. We bought a tree, all the things. And I hate to admit it, but for me, I'm not sure. That difference of one day, I'm not sure what difference it really made in my own readiness for the Christmas season. Because, right, ready or not, Christmas is here. It's here among us. So for me, I think there's a distinction that I like making personally between the idea of Christmas,
this, you know, this cultural time, this holiday we observe, this time that's tied to our Christian faith, to when we celebrate the birth of Christ. But this other word, Advent, and I think I like it, that something with the definition and its context, probably also all the years of working at a church, talking about getting ready for Advent. But for me, Advent is about preparation. Advent is about beginnings. Advent is about something that starts small and then it eventually unfolds, eventually happens. Maybe this is some of my own resistance to just flipping a switch and suddenly turning on the Christmas spirit. But as we come to our text this morning, I encourage us all, no matter where we found ourselves, no matter how long your lights have been on, the wreath have been up, or even if your Christmas spirit just might not come out this year at all, I invite us to hear this familiar story about the announcement, the birth of Christ, and I hope we can see and feel what might begin to stir and unfold in us. Maybe it'll be the same as it is every year, but perhaps maybe something new will come, something new will advent in us. So I invite you to listen as we read again this text from the Gospel of Luke. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last week we set the stage for our story with the Nativity, talking about the promise of Christ as it comes through our Old Testament narrative. And now today we get to that fulfillment, waiting all those years. You see, in our manger display, we have two new characters with Mary and Joseph. And in our reading this morning, we get this first row seat to the conversation between the angel Gabriel and Mary. I find as I read along with this text, there are kind of like three different parts of the conversation and Mary's reply. And especially the first two parts, I appreciate, as I think it helps us feel like we could be there right alongside Mary in this story. Right, as you go through and reading in verse 29, Mary, it says, was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I can think of Mary as this real normal person here, right? We don't even need Mary to say, but she just looks confused. And of course, what would you do if an angel suddenly appeared and said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you"? I don't know about you, but I think I might like slowly back up. If you remember that confession earlier, that not wanting to be surprised, to me it kind of feels like those moments when someone's trying to hand you something and you know if you take it, they just then want to try to sell you something too. I think I would be looking for an escape route if I was Mary. And unlike what I would do, Mary's not so quick to bolt. She sits there a moment in this wondering, allows herself to stay a moment in the confusion. But of course, then Gabriel gives this classic angel line, "Don't be afraid." I'm not sure how you would take that, both right seeing an angel, talking to an angel, but Gabriel knows better than to wait and just jumps right in, keeps talking, telling Mary how she will conceive and have a son. She will name the son Jesus. He will complete the line of David, the fulfillment of the kings of old, and there will be a kingdom that will never end. All this in this second part as Gabriel is explaining it to Mary, and I really like Mary's response to this. I think it shows how she's still kind of caught off guard and maybe for some reason just a little fixated on the first thing Gabriel said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son." Mary wants to know, how will this happen, right? In case you're wondering, I think it's interesting here, right? No, Mary did not know how any of this was supposed to work. But I like how when Mary's here is presented kind of with the very heart of the Christmas miracle, this miraculous birth, she doesn't really know what's going to go on. She doesn't know how we get from this moment of announcement to the moment of the actual miracle. It doesn't make any sense. And I really like that Mary doesn't pretend that it does. And of course, we get to the last and third part that for me is where it's just a little harder to follow. I get the confusion from the first part, right? We get stuff all the time. We have no other response than just kind of look on with wonder. And of course, I get not knowing. There's so much we just don't know how we're going to get from A to B. But this last response of Mary is just hard for me to relate to at times. Mary hears more from the angel Gabriel about the miracle, how the Holy Spirit will come, the power of the Most High will overshadow. She even learns about this concurrent miracle of her cousin Elizabeth with child. And Mary's response is simply, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." For me, this is the part that is so hard to relate to. How does Mary go from all the questions, all the confusion, the wonder, to this response, this final place of her? I picture it, this open-handed release to God's will in her life. I sure know I have things in my life that I need to turn from confusion and bewilderment to this peaceful release to God. And we don't have to go far into our recent newspaper to find other examples, right? We look at the results and responses of our recent presidential election, and I don't know, do we, like Mary, have confusion and wonder what kind of greeting this might be? Our world talks about the pains of the continued quarantine, the rise in cases, but also this hope on the horizon for a vaccine. Do we, like Mary, not know how it'll actually happen? How we get from where we are to this moment we hope, what we told is to come? So during this Advent season, how do we open up and let God's will into our lives? Into all the craziness that can surround us, all the craziness in our world at times. For Mary, I think her very questions become that which help her let go. This posture of wondering that Mary has, her willingness to not have everything completely figured out. Something about that, I think, helps her get to this place of release. And if you read on past our text to Mary's visit with Elizabeth, in this song that springs from Mary, I think we find touches of these real things that anchor Mary's faith, anchor her soul. For us, though, I think Our text, as well as this whole season of Advent, give us two more reminders of how we can open ourselves to God's miraculous will. The first is, just like this word Advent suggests, I think, we must start small. Even this imagery of pregnancy, right, in Mary and Elizabeth, give way to this image. Letting God into our lives this Christmas will not be this instant start where this grand sweeping gesture or this complete role reversal. Instead, I believe it starts with small acts of acceptance and willingness. Mary, right, had so much to figure out what this news meant in her life, in her relationships, but she had to accept that God was with her. And then she had to put herself in a place to be ready for what God was going to do. And right, if we take this imagery of pregnancy a little further, right, Mary wasn't ready for Jesus. She didn't have a room. She hadn't any, you know, coaching for getting ready for the birth, any books like we often like to have getting ready for a new child. All that would slowly come. So what is it for us? Are those small things we can do? Small spaces that we can let go and invite God in? Is it small acts of kindness that we can start? Is it a small turn of perspective that we can step into? I think it's hard. I can't be the one to say that for you. That's between you and God. But I think the last word for us might be equally easy for us to forget also, to easily cast aside. This, the last thing the angel tells Mary, right? Nothing is impossible for God. Just let that soak in a moment. Nothing. Even though we can be confused and wonder, despite the fact that we do not know all the things, we don't know how it will happen, nothing is impossible for God. May it be in our lives, as well as in the lives of all those we come in contact with. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you that indeed nothing is impossible. Help us just get glimmers of what that means in our life, what that means in the small interactions we have with those loved ones around us, with our family members, with our work co-workers, community. Help us open ourselves to your love that we see and know in this Christmas Advent story. Be with us, bless us, guide us. In your Son's name, amen.